Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. With me today is our leading lady, Melody Kramer, with Legal Greenhouse. Good morning, Melody.
Good morning, Bethany.
It's great to have you today. And on this show, we are going to be talking about Melody's recently released book called Why Lawyers Suck, Hacking the Legal System. And I'm so excited to have you today. Really looking forward to hearing about your book. So
Go ahead.
Tell us a little about your book. What inspired you to write it, and what was your vision in putting it out into the world?
Well, I've got to tell you, the actual inspiration for writing books of this type about the legal system really came probably 7 or 8 years ago by someone who mentioned the fact that women authors, really the way they can change the world is by telling the truth. And I decided it was time to tell the truth about the legal industry. I've been a lawyer for over 20 years. Litigation, been in courtrooms across the country, and I thought it was time that the public really got an understanding of what was going on behind the scenes and in lawyers' minds. And so that was the reason for this book.
Fantastic. So give us a little peek inside your book, you know. I know that our listeners here are avid readers. What can they expect to find as they look into your book?
They'll get to find an inside look at how lawyers are created, how they are selected for law school, what law school training is like, and how lawyers' minds really are shifted and trained in certain ways that actually end up being negative traits that they have later on in the view of their clients. And, and so I try to walk behind the scenes on that and explain why we do some of the things that we do that seem so horrible. And some there are good excuses, some there are not. But it just gives you in that mindset.
Fantastic. And then you have helpful hacks, right, for the clients or for the users, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I thought explaining the why is only one piece of the process. The next piece of the process is to explain to people who deal with lawyers day in, day out, how they can use that information in a helpful fashion. One of those that I think is really important is I see clients coming to court whenever there's a court appearance in their case, and either before or after the court hearing, they flood their lawyer with all sorts of new information. And then they seem surprised the next time they meet, the lawyer doesn't even remember anything that they had said. There's reason for that, a very specific reason for that. Courtrooms, even when they're motion hearings, it's battle. Your body physiologically responds the same way you would if you were being faced with a grizzly bear. And because
this is the lawyer.
This is the lawyer, and, well, the clients to some extent, too. But the lawyer, and so that narrows their field of vision. There's auditory exclusion, and they literally don't remember those things. And it's actually good because they perform for you better and argue your case better because of that fight or flight syndrome that's going on in their bodies. But it also means that anything outside of that, they may not even be aware of. So you're wasting your time and your money talking to your client right before or right after court hearing. So send them an email, set up an appointment later on. Don't do it that way.
Well, that's fantastic. Great, great information for someone who's in the midst of legal proceedings. Melody, tell us a little bit about your overall goal. I mean, I know Legal Greenhouse, you set it up with some pretty ambitious goals in mind. Can you tell us a little about that? What are you attempting to do or change in this world?
I want to make fundamental change in the legal profession. It is very antiquated. It is very reviled by pretty much all of the public. There's so much in the system that needs to be looked at and changed. And I want to take a hand in being part of that change. This book is part of a series that I'm calling Hacking the Legal System. This is part one, this book. And I'm going to address different aspects of the legal system in each successive book. This first book is directed more towards the general audience. It's somewhat humorous, it gives some insights, and it gives some helpful hacks that can apply across the board for people dealing with lawyers, businesses, individuals, or whatever. The next book in the series will be called Courtroom Drama, and that actually goes behind the scenes and shows how the litigation process and getting towards a jury trial, how that is like preparing for dramatic production. I also have some very interesting proposed solutions to making jury service a lot more palatable. So those will be kind of fun to have. And then the third book is Managing Mercenaries, and that is specifically directed towards in-house counsel or business owners and showing them behind the scenes and how to deal with litigation lawyers and managing costs and so forth in that process.
Wow, it sounds like you've got a lot going on. I can't wait to read the rest of your books. It's going to be fascinating. So tell us where people can find your book. I'm sure that the listeners are going to want to pick it up. And tell us a little bit about how they can connect with you further. How can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me via my website, legalgreenhouse.com. Or my email address is melody@legalgreenhouse.com. There's a link on the website to buy the book, or you can go straight to Amazon and you can just type in Why Lawyers Suck, and it'll take you right to my book and you can buy it there. And thank you very much to Bethany, who part of the team of people who helped me get this book to being done. I don't know how to put it on Amazon, but she did. It's in hard copy right now, but I believe also will be in Kindle version shortly. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'd like to shift the conversation a little at this point, and I'd like to talk a little about your publishing journey. This is your first book, right?
It is. I sort of co-wrote some boring prosecution manuals many years ago with some other authors, but this is my first solo book, yes.
So I'd love to hear, and I think our listeners would love to hear, a little bit about your publishing journey. I know that a lot of our listeners are considering publishing their own books, and one of the things that I advise any new author to do is to talk to other authors and gather information, really find out what other people's what other people are doing, what their experiences are, learn from them. So I'd love to hear from you a little about your publishing journey. Now, tell us a little bit, like, what was the hardest part and what was the most enjoyable part? What surprised you the most?
Well, I would say the journey has been up and down and up and down craziness over about 3 years working on writing this book. And I thought I had a great idea for the book. I started writing it, and then I started trying to outline it, and then write, and then outline. And it took me probably at least a couple of years of self-doubt and second-thinking everything I did to the point that it stalled my writing a great deal. And fortunately, within the past year, I met someone who actually was able to get me past that not in my writing process and just get the rest of the process to flow, to realize that this was a story that I had to write and I need to stop being a lawyer so much in terms of structure of the book. And then I also had advisors along the way that really helped encourage me and give me the added expertise that I didn't have myself. And that's so crucial to have, especially as you get to the end of the book. Even if you have a beautiful manuscript, that's no good if you don't know how to get it actually published and on Amazon and wherever that you want it to go. It doesn't matter how smart you are. You need to have people who can help you with those things because they can do it quicker and more efficiently than you can. Focus on your strengths and write your book and then have others help you get it to the publishing process.
Wonderful. That's great. Yeah, and I find that a lot of authors, you know, writing the book is the part that they're the most passionate about, and often they flounder when it comes to all the logistics and details involved in getting that manuscript into book form and out into the world, distributed, published, and all of that. And that's one of the things that we do at Publishing Partner is partner with authors to get their books completed. What part of the process did you just absolutely love, Melody?
I love the part where I got down to a more polished manuscript and I got to send it out for content editing to a number of friends who graciously agreed to edit it for me. I selected people who were from very different areas in life and different levels of education and different experience with the publishing process. And I got back such varied feedback that it really helped add dimension to the book. And I'm just forever grateful to those people who took the time to do that and that process. And then it started seeming more real. It's like I've had people read the manuscript. They've identified things that are really specifically helpful to them and areas that they didn't know about, things that they found humorous and enjoyable to read. That's when I really start getting fired up and go, okay, this really is going to happen. And then, of course, the best part was when I first saw it on Amazon and when I got the first sale on Amazon, I mean, I was giddy over the moon. It's just an awesome feeling.
Fantastic. And how do you anticipate that this book is going to work for you moving forward in your business? Besides the readers who will read it and will be informed and instructed and have a great experience reading the book, how do you see this being a win for you in your business?
Well, I'm a big believer in the concepts that are in the book, the tipping point. I'm sure many of you have read The Tipping Point. I want this to be a tipping point in terms of change in the legal profession. I want it to make people think. Lawyers, judges, clients, regular people dealing with the system, I want this to be something that makes them think and within their own sphere and in their own way be able to start affecting change in the process. That's what I'm hoping it to do. I want to open people's eyes. I want to make more transparency of what's going on because that's the first step to making positive change.
Uh-huh. Very good. Excellent. So, talking again a little bit about your publishing journey, how long would you say this book took, start to finish, from the time you put pen to paper, you know, fingers to keyboard, however you want to say that, until it was done? How long did it take you?
I would say probably officially about 3 years, but concepts were developing before that time. And so I think for a lot of potential authors, sometimes they have a concept, they have an idea, and it may take a little while for it to coalesce into where it may be a book. The mm-hmm. first couple of years was just struggling to get my mind around the scope. What was I going to include? What sort of voice was I going to use in the book? I probably overanalyzed it. I redid my table of contents dozens of times. And when I finally realized that I needed to just tell it like a story, when I came to that shift in my mind, literally took 2 weeks to take the manuscript that I had and to just make it sing and fly through, and was having it out for people to review. So it what usually takes the most time is those internal hang-ups in your mind. And if you have a book, a story you want to tell, you need to talk to a publishing coach or somebody to help you get past whatever in your head is getting in the way of the writing process. Because once you do, if you're any kind of writer at all, you might be able to crank out a manuscript, the first version, in a very short period of time. So I think that the big hang-ups in writing a book are often mental. The writing is not the problem. It's getting past the insecurities and the fears of the process.
Well, and you are not alone in that experience, because all the authors that I work with, every single one would agree with that assessment, that a lot of the difficulty, a lot of the battleground is in the mind, and self-doubt rears its head, and it's, and a great part of the process is working through those fears and the self-doubt and what can sometimes feel paralyzing.
I agree with that, and I think there are some ways to get past that, and one way to get past it, too, is that I early on chose the route of self-publishing over finding a traditional publisher, because I didn't have to sell my idea to someone else. I believed in the concept of the book and where it needed to go, and I could do that whole process without having to sell someone else on it. And so if my book didn't succeed, if I didn't get it done, I didn't have that other layer of people to deal with. It was my success or failure on my own, and somehow that took pressure off of me, I think. Would I do it self-publishing in the future? Perhaps. But now that I've done it one way, now I know I've got the different options, and I can do it more meaningfully. It's like the first time that you do everything is tough. The first time you walk, it's tough. But then, you know, you can do more of that later on because you've done those first steps.
Right, that's right. So if you were going to go back and do one thing differently, I'm kind of surprising you with this question because we didn't talk about this earlier, but if you were going to change one thing about the publishing journey now that you are a published author, what would that be?
Write. Just sit down and write. Editing is a different step. Then come later. Just write. Because once you have your thoughts out on paper, editing's easy. You can do it. You involve other people doing it. It's easier. Just get your story, what you want to say, get it on paper or on your computer. The rest of
right.
the take
Beautiful. I love that. And so what would be your best tip to give to other aspiring authors, to the people on the show who are listening, who have been thinking about writing a book? They've probably had an idea in their head for quite some time. Maybe they've even put pen to paper and got it started, but it hasn't seen the light of day. They really want to make it happen, though. They want to become an author. They have a story to tell. They have an impact that they would like to create in the world. For someone like that, what would be your best tip?
Well, I'm starting to realize this more as I actually ghostwrite for other people also. And what I'm starting to see is that people process and convey information in different fashions. For me, I sit down at the keyboard, I type like the wind. I can largely keep up with how fast my mind is working on with my fingers, and the process of typing helps me think. That's my process. There are a lot of people who have a lot of things to say that aren't good at typing or don't feel comfortable doing that. Don't let that stand in the way. You can always pick up a dictaphone and or set up your your computer or your camera on your computer, whatever, and just talk out your book. There are many people who can take that and convert it into a written book. But go with what is easy to you. And if it's just telling the story to somebody else, you can sit someone else in the room, put a tape recorder between you, and tell them everything you want to have in the book. And then you can always find people to take the next steps. I'm sure, Bethany, with you and publishing partner, you have connections for someone who can transcribe a recording, proofread things, edit things. You can find people to do all that. So find what is easiest for you to convey the information, and that will get you a wonderful start. We have a mutual friend. We have a mutual friend who's working on a book, and that was the process that she used. She spent a whole day or two talking into a video camera because she felt comfortable with that medium, and then had other people help her. And I think her book is soon to be published. So
That's right. I love that tip, and that's something that I tell aspiring authors all the time is find a way to work that works for you. And that's really important because everybody has different strengths. Everyone has different ways that they like to express themselves and they like to communicate and ways that they feel most comfortable doing so. And you want to set yourself up for success as an author. If you hate writing but love talking, you know, talking your book is a really good plan. It reminds me of the book Big Magic, Elizabeth Gilbert's recent book. And in the book, which is a fantastic book, and if you're a writer or if you're anyone creative, I'd highly recommend reading that book. In the book, she talks about how Brené Brown, another amazing author, wrote her last book, and where she kind of tricked herself into having a good time writing her book. And I just loved that part of the book because it's such a beautiful illustration of how writing doesn't have to be this hard, torturous experience. Creating a book can and, in fact, should be a lot of fun. I mean, you're creating something brand new in the world, and it's a great experience. And in the book, Liz Gilbert told about how Brené Brown took her three best friends off to this beach house, and they spent the weekend, and Brené Brown would sit there and talk the concepts to her friends while they would take notes. And then she would take the notes and go into the next room and quickly type them all out on the typewriter or on the computer. And then they'd go back and read what she wrote. And in this very collaborative, very verbal-based way, they spent the weekend writing the book, and she said that it was the most enjoyable experience of writing that she'd ever had. And Brené has written several incredible books. And apparently she agonized over every single one except for this last one because she found a way to work and to write that was fun for her, that worked. So I love that tip. Thank you, Melody. That's just great.
Well, the other thing to remember, too, is you do not need to write the book in the same order as it ends up in the written form. I started out this book project with having the cover designed. It sounds kind of weird. Most authors wait until the book is written before they even look at a cover design. But for me, it was very important to have that idea of what readers were going to see. Another thing that I did was I did a fundraising campaign on Indiegogo. And I didn't raise a lot of money through it, but I specifically set it up such that I didn't have to raise all the money to proceed. And what that meant was then I had made commitments that I had to deliver this book. And it was a good kick in the seat of the pants that I had finished this book. I had made commitments.
Yes. Well, and I always tell my authors that I work with that writing the first draft, it's about shoveling sand into the sandbox so that you can then create your sandcastle. And you can't create a sandcastle if there's no sand in the sandbox. So the first step is getting the sand in the sandbox, just putting something down on paper, just getting it out of your head and on the page. Once that happens, then you can rearrange it, you can refine it, you can revise it, you can completely toss out parts that you don't need, you'll find new things. That first bit is always the hardest, is just getting the content out of you in whatever form works for you, whether it's just, whether it's writing it, whether it's speaking it, whether it's collaborating on it. You have to get the sand in the sandbox first before you can create the sandcastle.
I like that analogy. That's awesome. That's exactly it. And you'll also find that as you go along, there's sand or whatever that you will take out that's perfectly good writing, but you realize doesn't belong there. In this one, there was one chapter I ended up taking out because really I couldn't do it justice in this book, and it will be part of the next book. So, you know, just put all that writing in there, and the editing and refining whatever will come as the next step.
Well, that's fantastic. Melody, thank you so much for being our leading lady today, for giving us the insight into both your book and what you're up to in the world with it, and also the publishing process. I think it's been a great help to our listeners. And for all the listeners, again, go to Amazon to buy her book or to her website, which is, again, what was it?
LegalGreenhouse.com.
There you go. And check out the book. I think you're going to like it. So that's our show for today. Thank you, Melody, for being our leading lady. And thank you to all of our listeners. We will be back again next Monday morning for another Women Lead radio show. We are here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. And next week, our leading lady will be Jackie Janow, owner and marketing consultant of J. Janow Marketing. And the topic will be Big or Small Marketing Matters. So I'm Bethany Kelly, host of Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Thank you for listening, and please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.